Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Good, the bad, and the dumb returning after the long vacation for Ron Culver. We've been dying for the good of the day of all of the good that you had to choose from. So let's get started. What is the good of the day today?
Probably the feel-good moment from these Olympic Games. And we'll circle back around and talk Olympics and the dumb. But I got to highlight this because I've watched this video a couple times and I loved it. If you didn't catch the ending to the men's high jump between Italy's Gianmarco Tamberi and Qatar's Mutaz Essebarshim.
What a wow! How did you practice that? That's awesome.
Yes. But if you didn't catch it, these two individuals tied at the end of the men's high jump. The official comes over and goes, "It's a tie. And, you know, we could have a jump off." And that's when Qatar's Mutaz Essebarshim jumped in and goes, "Well, can we each get gold medals?"
And the Olympics said, "Sure.
Sure. Why not?" I mean, that seemed like the most no-brainer thing ever, right? Like,
why wouldn't you just do that?
Yeah. Like, you're going to have a jump-off like these guys, both of them like, "Well, you know, yes, I'd like to run the risk of losing my spot."
Now, the cool thing about it is they both got gold medals. Like, they didn't say, "All right, but you guys get silvers. If you want to tie for first, you're going to get silvers."
Yeah, then I would have said, right? "No, let's go to the jump-off."
But if you're going to give them both golds, who cares how you got the gold? You got a gold medal.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you want to, I guess you could have a jump off, but in the end, if somebody's like, either you take the tie and get a gold, or you could try for the gold and not get it, I'd be like, "Give me the gold."
That's how I want to
be. I'm a gold medal winner.
I mean, I guess there's two people in this world, right? There's like us, and then there's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan would be like, "No, I'm not sharing anything.
Right.
Let's go."
Yeah. But if you're trying to like impress women with your gold medal, they don't care how you won it, right?
No, no. They're not going to say, "Oh, are you the guy that tied?"
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They're not going to. Just got to display.
"Well, like, I am a gold medal winner in the high jump." And they're like, "Yeah, but you tied. That's really doesn't kind of count.
Yeah. It's kind of like half gold, half silver, isn't it, really?
By the way, every time I watch the high jump, it looks like it's impossible to do.
Well, I see.
And they do it.
I love it because that was the one of the events I did in in the day in high school. Ugh, yeah.
Looks so hard.
It really is. My highest I ever cleared, I actually did once, and only once, I did clear 6 feet.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I was much lighter than I am now.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's it. Maybe the reason I think it's impossible, because it is impossible for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a really good.
No, it felt good.
Yeah. Yeah. They were hugging and celebrating together. It was cute.
It was.
Absolutely. All right, what is the bad of the
now
day?
While I was away, this story kind of broke, and I know you probably touched on it a little bit, about the SEC getting two new teams.
Yes.
Texas and Oklahoma.
Yes, we did.
And I wanted to talk about it. I was like, you know, this is fantastic. I got to hear what the masses have to say about Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. But late yesterday, was only trumped by a rumor, another story involving two other high-profile teams that are wanting to join the SEC, and that is Florida State and Clemson.
I know. It's all coming around now. And here's the thing. It's now open season, right? Now that Texas, like, now that Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, all these schools are going to be, they'll initially go, no, we're good. But then after a while, they'll do what Texas and Oklahoma did, which is not comment on it, to then say they want to join. Yeah, this was so well.
You know what this reminds me of? You remember it was a couple of months ago we were talking about over in Europe soccer, and they were trying to create the Super League, and there was all this backlash. They needed to do it this way, just slowly.
Yeah,
not just say, you know, all of a sudden, like, "Hey, we're gonna have a 12-team Super League. Here's all the teams that are joining us," and there was all the backlash. Now you're kind of like chipping away at it, like, well, college football, you know, we don't really have a Super League, but you know, we kind of made one, and then if you want to come over and join us, come on in. The water's fine.
The funny thing about it was Texas A&M said, "We're going to vote against this," and the SEC pulled them aside and was like, "No, you're not going to vote against them."
Slap them on the
and
wrist.
And they got a unanimous 14-0 approval to extend the invitation. This is Texas A&M, reminds me, Texas A&M reminds me of that politician that's going to vote for the bill but screams how awful the bill is anyway. Like, I got to put it out there that I hate this, but in the end, I'm going to do it.
So is Texas A&M going to go to Florida and saying, hey, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to vote yes. I had to.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly what they're going to do.
South Carolina
South Carolina is screaming at the top of their lungs that Clemson shouldn't be allowed in.
Yeah, South Carolina screaming, going, I don't want to be Vanderbilt.
Yeah, the whole thing about South Carolina is their appeal is the SEC. They're like, hey, you want to come to South Carolina and be mediocre? No, we're in the SEC. Oh, okay. Right? Like, that's the whole appeal. Now Clemson's going to go, hey, do you want to come here and play for a national championship? Yes. Oh, and did I mention we're in the SEC? Oh, thank you. That makes perfect sense. Be more than happy to oblige Dabo Sweeney.
What are they going to be at, 20 teams before the season starts?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Vanderbilt's going to quit football.
They will. if they have to.
Yeah.
Because they know now. They're going to sit there like, oh, we're just going to be the doormat every single year. Yeah. What chance do we have? Oh, wait, we got baseball.
I can see it here in Nashville now. Get your Vanderbilt season tickets today with games against Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama. And you make you go, oh, okay. I guess I'll get to see those awesome teams come and win 56-10.
Yeah, you know what it'll remind me of? It'll remind me of Chargers games.
Yeah.
At the soccer stadium when they didn't have any fans. And it was always the other team's fans. I think that's what Vanderbilt needs to bill it as.
I know I've told this story before. When I was at Air Force and the Oklahoma Sooners were coming to Air Force, the only way you could get tickets to that game, the only way you could buy them, is if you bought a season ticket package for Air Force. So Oklahoma fans did exactly that. They bought season tickets, and after the game, they went around with books in the parking lot, handing them out to anybody in an Air Force hat. Like, yeah, we won't be needing these anymore. Thanks. Got our ticket. Saw our team. We'll be leaving. You guys can have the Colorado State game coming up next week. Go ahead. Take this whole book.
Take the whole thing.
That's what's going to happen at Vanderbilt, right? That's what's going to happen. Vanderbilt tickets are inexpensive. They're not that.
Of course not.
We were a season ticket holder for a couple of years when we first moved here.
I mean, when was the last time they had a good football team?
Right. James Franklin maybe 10 years ago. And that was just get to the Music City Bowl, right? That was it, right? Texas fans are going to be like, you want to go to Nashville for the weekend? I got to buy season tickets to Vanderbilt football, but we'll be fine, more than happy to find people that will take these off our hands to see Texas play a road game.
You're going to try to sell them? No, I'll just give them out.
No, just give them away. I don't need them.
You know, kids these days, they need
tickets.
How
much you want for the ticket package? $300? Perfect. Here.
Yeah, there you
go. $300. I get to see Texas, and I'll just some lucky Nashvillian will get season tickets to Vanderbilt.
That's a great racket, by the way.
It is a great racket.
Just hang out. Like, hey, you done with those?
Yeah, you done with those? Yeah, Texas fan. You needed those tickets? Yeah, I'll take them.
Yeah.
Great stuff. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I had this Olympic challenge before the Olympics started. The Olympics have started, and I'm keeping my Olympic challenge going because there's a lot of dumb stuff that keeps coming out of the Olympics, and this one is called Vomitgate.
Yeah, what's up with the vomiting?
Vomitgate. Well, no, this, I don't know what you're talking about, Tony, but this was on an airline flight back from Tokyo to Sydney that carried the Australian football, which is soccer, by the way, and rugby players who were involved in a rowdy and drunken antics on the 10-hour flight.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was thinking that somebody was making a comment that NBC was showing too much vomiting at the Olympics.
Oh, that could be happening, too.
All right.
But on this flight, some of the antics that were going on, the players of these two teams did not follow instructions by airline staff, raiding the galley of alcohol.
Of course they did.
And as one passenger put it, obviously not wearing masks because they were drinking all the time. I guess they also defiled one of the restrooms on the airplane so bad,
would
just, you know, vomit all over the place. And all I can picture is the guy going, I missed.
You know, that is so disgusting.
It is. For a 10-hour flight, too.
Oh, good
gracious.
You
just have to. If you're just a passenger, you're just trying to get some shut-eye, right? You're just trying to sleep for 10 hours?
Yeah.
Just to make the plane go by faster? And you have Australian rugby players and soccer players just, you know, probably having drinking contests on the airplane.
I would be trying to open up the exit door in mid-flight. I'd be forcing the door. They'd be like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, try to stop me. Out there is much better than in here.
And not to be outdone, but apparently The Australian rowing team and rugby team are being accused of leaving the Olympic Village in utter disarray.
What is the penalty for that?
Is there one?
Like, do you make them go back and clean their mess up? Or do you just go to Tokyo, sorry, bye?
Yeah, I mean,
what do you do? There's nothing you can do about it.
I guess the only thing what I could see happening is the IOC going, that's going to be a $10,000 fine.
Right.
Because,
good luck collecting.
Yeah, because I guess they punched a hole in the wall.
Good gracious.
Like you guys,
the price you pay for getting the Olympic Games. You have to deal with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and plus, and then having them on lockdown. What did you think was going to happen?
Right.
We talked about it beforehand that these are all finely tuned athletes, testosterone off the charts. They need a release, and you're making them sleep in quarantine in beds of cardboard that'll break.
When does the Olympics end? This weekend?
I think so.
Is that it? We're done?
Yep, I think that's it.
Congratulations, you got it in. It looked so stupid, but you got it in.
Yeah, oh, God.
These track and field events with nobody in the stands, when that's one of the most exciting things of the Olympics. The swimming is insane. Like, they're swimming. You're getting Dan Hicks and Rowdy Gaines are doing the play-by-play, and it's, like, exciting, and, like, they're coming down to the wire, and crickets. There's barely any noise.
As soon as it's done. Oh, they
nothing.
Won!
Yeah,
and then
nothing.
You hear, chirp, 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 chirp.
If you know anything about the Olympics, one of the stories that comes out a couple of years later, somebody always does a story where they revisit a city that hosted the Olympics just to see what they did with all the stuff they built.
All the time,
right? Oh, we're in Athens 3 years later, and look at this velodrome that nobody's using, or this baseball stadium that's now ravaged with weeds.
Yeah.
And I know Tokyo is very efficient. It's an efficient city. They'll either tear it down and build something else or move on. But these buildings that they built to house all of these fans, and they're empty, that must drive them bananas.
Well, that was the thing. My wife asked me yesterday. She's like, did they just build them? Because we were watching diving, right? Because diving was on. We were visiting with some family yesterday, and so diving was on. She's like, did they build these buildings just for this? And I was like, I always look at it as through the U.S. mind. Like, no, because we have that.
Yeah.
But
right.
Yeah, I think they just built it for that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if they need it, they'll keep it. Like I said, it's a lot of these places, these stadiums go to die, and they just die, and they just get eroded, and nobody needs them anymore.
Well,
maybe Tokyo's a little bit more like, hey, we'll figure out what we're going to do with this stuff.
They'll do something with the Olympic Stadium.
Sure, but what are they doing with it? What are they going to do with a cycling track?
No.
What are they doing with that?
Well, that's why, they did this big, huge open water swim, and they're like, oh, it's in the bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy to... We'll just move the markers away.
Right, exactly.
Just tow them back in.
It's just... I don't know. It's just so... It's bizarre looking. So weird.
Well, I mean, that's... Remember when China, they had the bird's nest that swimming?
Yeah.
It was like, that's the most magnificent building I've ever seen. And it's... I mean, no one goes near it. It's like
I've never seen it used ever in anything else.
They even reported on it. It's almost becoming an eyesore because no one is doing anything with it.
And I'm not sure to belabor the point, but in Qatar, where they're going to have the World Cup, 2 years from now or next year?
Next
or whenever,
year, next
winter.
What
are they going to do with all of those soccer stadiums they're building now?
They're nothing.
With using practically slave labor.
Exactly.
To build it.
The promise was that they were going to take those stadiums and assemble them brick by brick, but then tear them down brick by brick to sell them off to a country that could actually use them.
Oh,
and then
right.
rebuild them the exact same way. That was part of their package of saying, hey, bring the World Cup to Qatar. This is what we're going to do, which included air conditioning down on the turf.
Right.
Which obviously we know is not going to happen because they're shifting it to the winter time.
Even in Brazil, where they built those soccer stadiums, they had one in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah.
And that's just dying. And that's a soccer-crazed city, but they don't need that.
They don't need that.
They don't need an 80,000-seat stadium in the middle of the Amazon.
I don't even know if they have a team.
Right. It's just sitting there dying because, it's crazy. I don't know. These economics drive me nuts. It gives me a headache.
Yeah,
but you know what doesn't give me a headache? The good, the bad, and the dumb is back, man. I'm really glad you're back.
Yay. Me too.
Always fun. That was always fun. All right. On Twitter again, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That's Ron with two N's as we wrap up this hour on Wake Up Call.